be a beautiful bastard. Hope you have a fantastic Friday. Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show. And if you're new here, we do things a little bit different on Friday. On Fridays, I try to cover stories we tried to get to earlier this week, but they ended up getting cut for time. Also, more viewer-requested stories. And so with that said, let's just jump into it. And the first thing we're going to talk about today, one of the most requested stories this week, was actually some internet-y slash entertainment news. Move over, Logan Paul. You are no longer the most recent online celebrity to try and take a bad scandal and profit from it. And that is because Lil Tay is back, question mark. And for those not familiar with the whole Lil Tay situation, I apologize in advance for pulling you into the mud on this. But she is the little 9-year-old girl that you may have seen on Instagram at one point or another doing this.
All y'all grown-ass men hating on a 9-year-old? I ain't got no license, but I drive 400 racks on this car. Bitch, y'all don't even have a car. I ain't got no license, but I be driving this around. I bought this car, bitch. Y'all saying I rent my cars? Bitch, hell no, I don't rent my car. Bitch!
Why would she lift your car?
Get your money up before you start hating on me, bitch! Lil Tay rich, I'm finna get richer!
Bullying in the trap house, me and my Billy buzzing on a whole lot of gang shit, and we be moving bricks. I'm only 9 years old, but I be flexing your mama's rent. Fuck the Smith & Wesson, we keep a big chopper on us on the streets. Bitch, if y'all try to mess with us, I'ma shit it on your mama. We had a whole lot of gang shit.
And she blew up online. I mean, just on Instagram, she got 2.7 million followers. But then there was a really quick downfall. Her mom, who's a real estate agent, ended up being fired because she was using her boss's Mercedes, as well as luxury properties that she didn't actually own, all reportedly without his permission. It then came out that not only was her personality scripted, it was being directed by her brother. The whole situation led to the family being on Good Morning America. There was a whole interview. Then last month, either Lil Tay or whoever was running her account ended up removing everything from her Instagram. We had heard very little. Then on July 5th, we see a single Instagram story with the message that just reads, help me. And that brought us to this week, where there was a new post on the Instagram account, and it was a trailer. Specifically, it was a trailer for a new show called Life with Lil Tay. The caption of the video reading, Lil Tay is going through a lot of troubles in the most difficult time in her life at the moment, but she has a show coming out on July 13th, which she had filmed before these events, but Lil Tay will be back soon. Lil Tay's management. And it's a show that's premiering on the same day that a new on-demand service by the name of Zeus is being launched, and personally, I'm not here for it. Based off the trailer, it seems more reality show slash PR move. It also raises a question regarding the July 5th Instagram story, a message that simply read, help me. I mean, to me, it seems like it's one of three options. Either one, they're just trolling. Two, it's this little girl trying to get some help or someone that needs help. Or three, they decided to make people worry about this little girl as a way to then lead up to the promotion of a trailer. And if this was a docuseries like the one they did on Rachel Dolezal, where there's no control whatsoever, subject or subjects of the documentary, that it may not reflect well, that I would be interested in. But this to me just looks like a disgusting PR move. But a question I want to pass off to you with this story, but it also encompasses a lot of stories we talked about, is there such a thing as bad press anymore? Because when I think about it, for the most part, a lot of people that end up having these controversies, they usually leave them almost better off. And really, the only cases where I find that isn't the case are in situations where, of course, you have like the Daddy of Five situation. And obviously, while there were legal ramifications, they removed a bunch of their videos, they lost a big, big, big chunk of their audience, they also still have a YouTube channel, it's just called something else. But like in the Daddy of Five situation, the reason this one stands out to me so much is at the center of it, you have this little child. And you end up having these situations where you look to videos where she seems happy doing what she's doing and that it's her idea, but she's a child. When you see things like the Instagram story that says, help me, even if it ultimately results in someone successfully trolling me, it really makes me concerned. And also, I hope that it's clear that I'm not targeting Lil Tay here. I have just a shit ton of questions for the people that are supposed to be responsible for her right now. And even as far as the deal goes, I'm fascinated to see if Zeus will be a success or not. But unless it turns out the series is something completely different, just even including it, it feels scummy and weird and manipulative. But that's just my thinking. Maybe I'm being ridiculous. Let me know what your thoughts are with this story in those comments down below. But from that, I want to share some stuff I love today. And today in Austin, brought to you by BetterHelp.com/DeFranco. And BetterHelp, if you don't know, is the fantastic place and app where you can get affordable private online counseling. You get access to licensed, trained, experienced, accredited psychologists, marriage and family therapists, clinical social workers, and board licensed professional counselors. And all you've got to do to check it out, get started, is go to BetterHelp.com/DeFranco. You fill out a questionnaire, they match you with a counselor, and you can start counseling today. It's all super simple. Just on a personal note, they're not just a sponsor. It's a service that I personally use and I'm a fan of. But yeah, if you want to check it out, go to BetterHelp.com/DeFranco or click the link in the description down below. And the first bit of awesome actually has to do with the Emmy nominations that were announced this week. And there were a lot of notable nominations, but one thing that I wanted to chime in on, I wanted to say congratulations to Daystorm Power, old school YouTuber turned Viner turned everythinger slash entrepreneur. He got nominated for an Emmy for actor in a short form comedy or drama series. And ultimately, win or lose, it's always awesome to see stuff like this. Then we had some Blizzard and Overwatch awesome, thanks to a $15 limited edition Mercy skin that they released in May, as well as a $30 limited edition shirt. They reportedly raised $12.7 million for the Breast Cancer Research Foundation because all of the proceeds went there. Then we had the cast of Queer Eye play How Well Do You Know Your Co-Star? We had Life Noggin giving us What Actually Happens When You Get Drunk? We got the international trailer for The Grinch. We had GQ giving us Human-Like Robots. Then we had Film Theory going in on Thanos. Then we had Childish Gambino giving us two bits of awesome on YouTube and elsewhere. Summertime Magic and Feels Like Summer. And if you want to see the full versions of everything I just shared, the secret link of the day, anything at all, links as always are in the description down below. And then let's talk about why so many high schoolers right now are outraged at the SAT and the company behind the SAT's College Board. And for those outside of the states, the SAT is a standardized test widely used for college admissions. And the specific people that are angry in this instance are people who took the SAT back in June. They took the exam, and then this past Wednesday, a ton of them thought, well, something must be wrong here. Their scores were way lower than expected. And so it turns out it's because of a thing called equating. The College Board released a statement on Twitter saying, "We understand your questions about your June SAT scores. We want to assure you that your scores are accurate. While we plan for consistency across administrations, on occasion there are some tests that can be easier or more difficult than usual. That is why we use a statistical process called equating. Equating makes sure that a score for a test taken on one date is equivalent to a score from another date. So for example, a single incorrect answer on one administration could equal two or three incorrect answers on a more difficult version. The equating process ensures fairness for all students." And really quick, to switch gears, I need to throw my opinion in on that statement. To me personally, that sounds less like a valid explanation and more of an acknowledgement of a massive flaw in your whole operation. And understand, this is coming from a place where I understand what equating is, that it should work. But when you have instances like the June SAT, you're talking about an extreme situation. If you're not familiar with the SAT, on the math portion, you can get a maximum score of 800. And I'll compare the March and June SATs so you can see how extreme the difference is. In March, if you missed one question, you still would have gotten a perfect score of 800, whereas in June, you would have had a score of 770. So a small difference there, but you really notice what an extreme this is with two and three questions wrong. Because in March, if you missed two or three questions, you would have still gotten a score of 790, whereas in June, you would have either gotten a score of 750 or 720. That score difference is massive, and so you get the picture for the rest of it. And unsurprisingly, there are also a lot of people that weren't happy with the College Board. And looking through the tweets, it's very understandable why so many people are angry. One Florida high school student tweeted, "I, along with thousands of other high school students, have been cheated out of a rightful SAT score given the College Board's decision to harshly curve down the June 2018 SAT test. We deserve a true score and for our test to be reconsidered under a fair scale." Also hearing from parents of students like Eric Brock, who tweeted, "My son got 77.6% of the math questions correct on the December 2017 SAT and 89.7% correct in June 2018, an improvement of 12%, yet got the same math score on both tests. That's a pretty harsh curve." And we saw a lot of similar tweets hitting on that note. "I got one less wrong answer on math and dropped 70 points on math alone." And with this story, I'm just fascinated to see what happens here, because it looks like the College Board only has a few options. One, they essentially don't do anything. They say, you know, equating, it's a policy, it's a standard, everything was right here. If you're not happy, take the test again, which of course is gonna be pushback because it is around a $65 test. Two, the people that got the hashtag rescore June SAT trending, maybe they get their way and the College Board says, you know what, we realize that the scale wasn't right, here are your new scores. Or three, because there appears to be such a drastic difference, such a drastic curve, maybe people that took the SAT in June can do it next time for free. And I'm going to personally be glued to this story because this comes at not such a great time for the College Board. According to some reports in places like North Carolina, for high school seniors, participation in the SAT exam has dropped to 44%. This seemed to be because all of those students are taking the ACT exam, which is the rival to the SAT, for free. But ultimately, we're just gonna have to wait and see. And actually, on that note, I do wanna pass the question off to you. Do you feel that these students and parents have a legitimate complaint, or no, they need to just kinda suck it up, take the test again? I know I have my opinion, but maybe that doesn't line up with you, and I'd love to hear from you. Then, in the world is a horrifying place, and there is some horrible, horrible people in it news. Let's go to Japan, and wow, this story is something. And it actually starts back in 2016, where there's suspicious activity and a couple suspicious deaths at a hospital in Yokohama, Japan. In September of 2016, there's this 88-year-old man that dies. The doctor declares it natural causes. But after the man had died, a nurse noticed that there were bubbles in his IV drip. This was suspicious, police got involved, they conducted an autopsy, and they actually found that he had been poisoned, specifically by an antiseptic solution that's common for cleaning hands and wounds. And along with this man's death, they start investigating the death death of his roommate who had actually died 2 days prior. Turns out, in his autopsy, they once again find disinfectant. And so at this point, because of the poisoning, they start suspecting the nurses. At the very least, they may have seen something because the antiseptic solution is used at nearby nurse stations. They then discover unused IV drips at the nurses' stations that have antiseptic in it. Reportedly, there were tiny punctures in the rubber seals of about 10 of the drips. They then become even more suspicious of a specific nurse, one by the name of Ayumi Kuboki. This because they found traces of antiseptic around one of her pockets. But she denies involvement, and for the most part, we don't hear a lot about this story until last week. On July 7th, Kuboki was arrested on suspicion of murder. And long story short, during questioning, she ends up confessing to killing both of the men we initially started talking about. And on top of that, she also added that she may have killed around 20 or more other patients. And as far as her motive and how she decided who to target, that's... Reportedly, she would target patients who were in serious condition who she thought would die during her shift. And she reportedly said she wanted to accelerate these deaths so she wouldn't be the person responsible for telling the family. Nurses at the hospital are given the responsibility to inform the families of a death, so if someone died during her shift, she would have to do it. For example, with one of the deaths, her shift started at 5 p.m., but she arrived at the hospital at 3 p.m., and investigators believe that between 3 p.m. and 4:50 p.m., she injected him, and that man ended up dying at 7 p.m., but the nurse who was still around from the previous shift was the one that would have to break the news to the family. And when speaking to investigators, Ayumi reportedly said, "It would be troublesome if that responsibility fell on me." However, police aren't 100% convinced that she only targeted very sick patients. During her time at the hospital, there were people whose conditions weren't very serious who ended up dying. It's now called many previous deaths into question. But without a full confession, they're most likely not going to be able to prove anything because reportedly all those people have been cremated. And so the main point of this story is there is no point. It's just horrifying. Horrifying people exist in this world and you don't know where they are. I mean, just think about how weird this specific situation is. You have a probable serial killer who killed so they weren't put in an uncomfortable situation where they had to explain someone died. That's the end of this story. Then one of the most requested stories over the past week has been this Momokin situation. Momokin, whose real name is Mariah Mallet, she's a cosplayer. She's been at the center of a massive controversy, and that's because she's been accused of sexual harassment. And a lot of this starts on July 2nd. Creators Guild, which is an anime and gamer clothing apparel shop, they post this picture of Momokin on Twitter with the caption, "Glad to be working with Mariah Mallet again for AX Days 1 and 3, hashtag Creators Guild, hashtag Anime Expo." To which someone responds, "Are you aware that she sexually assaults people at conventions?" That tweet then gains some traction. Creators Guild then responds, saying, "Thank you for your concern. Creators Guild does not condone violence or harassment, both physical and verbal, from either cosplayers or regular individuals. If there was an incident of this kind, we wish to hear it directly from those slash that person involved." And then some people came forward. You had model and cosplayer Bunny Ayumi tweeting, "Sexual harassment should not be dismissed. It is not easy to come forward, but I have gained the courage to speak up. At Anime Expo last year, Momokin slapped my ass in front of a large crowd without my permission after I had just met her." Another model and cosplayer by the name of Kay Bear then tweeted, "I usually keep my mouth shut, but since I now realize I'm not alone, I feel like I will say something. Mariah has also touched me without my permission when we first met at Otakon Vegas. She pulled my top down while I was in cosplay and exposed my nipple in a bathroom full of people." On top of that, people started sharing videos where it looked like she was touching people who didn't want to be touched. There's an instance where she's putting her hands on and tickling another woman, then another where it looks like she's just grabbing a guy's butt without consent.
But we just have to wait.
I'm ready.
We have to be patient. You know, because you've got some people wanting to buy your stuff.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Yes.
Hi, man. What if I, like, touch his butt?
And then just 3 days after Creators Guild had announced their excitement, they wrote a series of tweets, but one of the main points. They wrote, "Though our experiences with Mariah have always been pleasant and professional, we have kindly asked her to cancel her meet and greet at our booth due to all the concerns that have been presented to us." And as far as Mariah's response to all of this, she took to Instagram to kind of apologize, but then, I'll link to the full video down below so you don't think that I'm taking her out of context and you can watch the whole thing, but here are some of the key points.
"And, you know, sometimes I'm very, like, handsy and touchy with friends and I get a little crazy and immature, and a few years ago clearly that's what I was doing. Times I get a little like crazy, and I think a lot of it has to do with like having ADHD and like not being able to control myself sometimes, that I just kind of get a little too comfortable, not okay, and I'm very sad to see people come out about this all at once and to kind of paint me in a light that's not very befitting or representative of me. Someone who is very against sexual assault and someone who's very much so an advocate for it. I think I did though mess up by being too comfortable with people who I thought I was within boundaries. I joked around a lot, especially was too handsy, and clearly I shouldn't have been doing that. And if I ever offended anybody or like hurt someone mentally or genuinely did so, I genuinely apologize. And people have personal vendettas and they choose when to say certain things to try and make things seem a certain way for certain times to try to mess with things. I definitely do think that, and it's more than likely the case. See you guys tomorrow at the convention. I'm super excited and can't wait to give you guys lots of hugs. I mean, no hugs. I will be keeping my hands to my fucking self. Air hug you. Air hugs. No kisses. Maybe like a glance. Like.
And following that, as you'd imagine, you saw a lot of different responses. One of the big standouts I noticed is that there were a lot of people that didn't like that she said it was because she had ADHD. A user writing, having ADHD is no excuse to slap a cosplayer's ass or lift their tops. You're a grown woman, Momokin. Take responsibility for your actions. Another writing, as a cosplayer with ADHD, I can tell you for certain that sexual assault is not a symptom. And there's also been criticism online of how has this story not become larger. One user writing, I want to see Momokin fall hard, but unfortunately this case is not blowing up as hard as it should. Sexual assault is sexual assault, but because she's a woman, it's not gaining traction. If it were a man, he'd be lynched. Women can be predators too. And what I'll say on a personal note is, yeah, I can't help but look at the situation and just really wonder what the public reaction would be if she was a man, right? What if every story and every video we talked about thus far, instead of it being her, it was a notable figure online like a Casey Neistat? By the way, sorry, Casey, not to just associate you with something like that, but you know, someone that is seen kind of on the up and up, right? What if it was a Jax Films, a Ninja, me, whoever? Would we be looking at a situation now that is much larger, or at least there would be a lot more pitchforks? I believe so, yeah. And I believe it's because a lot of people, you know, they do have that double standard as far as the difference between men and women, that a woman, she's not really seen as a predator as much to many people. But with that said, I do want to pass the question off to you. What are your thoughts about this situation? Also, as far as Momokin's explanation and apology, I mean, do you feel like that's legitimate? Or no, do you see that maybe more as an excuse, a deflection? I'd just love to know your thoughts here. And that's where we're going to end today's show. And of course, this is the PDS. It is not just a show, it is a conversation. So whether it be the last story, the first one, anything in between, let me know what you're thinking in those comments down below. Also, remember, if you like this video or you think I'm a pretty, pretty princess, hit that like button. If you're new here, hit that subscribe button, even ring that bell. No one really knows what ringing that bell does, but maybe it'll fill that hole in your heart. I'm kidding, that's stupid. Nothing's going to fill that hole. But that said, of course, as always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love your faces, and I'll see you Monday. You can always, the Friday shows are always a little loose.